This morning we, I just want to make sure, So this morning I want to provide part two to our message this morning. I left off talking about the favor of God and what actually happened. Daniel and his three friends were God placed them in Babylon. And I believe Babylon actually typifies the world system that we live in. And it's interesting that Daniel was placed in an environment basically where they worship devils. They had so many different types of gods and astrologers and all types of things. And God placed Daniel in that type of an environment because the Lord wanted him to represent him in the marketplace. And one of the great things that God does when he places his people in the marketplace, If you and I implement what I call favor magnets or do the things that releases favor towards you, God will raise you up so that you can be in a position of influence. And because you're in a position of influence, he can use you from that position to influence and draw others to his kingdom. Amen. So we see here in the life of Daniel, the scriptures literally said, in fact, I'm going to do this. If you could turn your Bibles to Daniel 1:9. Okay. Sometimes I use my phone as my Bible. And you know, I just remember a while back everybody said the devil was in the computer, and that if we use the computer and we would get the 66 beast, the 66 mark, and so here we are using computers. So anyway, I thought that was really funny, but so in Daniel 1:9. It says, now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commanders of the people. And then after Daniel went through this fast with his three friends, the scripture says that God endowed them he endowed them with knowledge in all the various subjects in Egypt or in Babylon. They gained expertise in this. And I want to say this, that I believe that part of the favor that God wants to release has to do with men and women, young men and women who are in college right now receiving training. That if you would receive the favor that God gave Daniel, God will give you wisdom and knowledge in the area of your expertise. In fact, the scripture says that they became 10 times better. Say 10 times better. The Lord wants to make that type of distinctive marking on his people. And the reason why I'm saying this is because sometimes we have a warped view regarding the things of God. We start saying that mathematics doesn't matter, literature doesn't matter, differential equations doesn't matter, calculus doesn't matter, you know, biology, molecular biology, biochemistry doesn't matter. Why should we study glycolysis and et cetera, et cetera. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, because the Lord said God endowed Daniel with the wisdom in that area. Amen. How many of you, what would your life look like if you were 10 times better? Come on, saints. I don't know if you hear that. And so this morning, one of the things we shared, and that was, we talked about the favor of God. And when you read about the life of Daniel, you will find that his whole life is a story of the favor of God. We shared in the last service that there are several things that you must do. We shared what the favor of God would accomplish. You need to check that out in the earlier morning service. But First of all, we identified favor magnets. One has to do with righteousness. And I'm not going to go into that. You can listen to the message. Number two, it had to do with humility. Humility will cause favor to come to you. And I just want to say this one thing. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I was just really praying about this particular brother yesterday. And I'm not going to identify him. But his story just kind of pulled on my heart yesterday. And I just, all through the evening, I prayed for him. And the Lord put in my heart that humility was the thing that was needed, and that he needed to understand what submission actually meant. Because when he begins to understand submission, which has to do with humility and being able to honor the position when you don't like the personality. Because the position comes from God. And some of us, many times, we are not promoted by the Lord. The Lord does not get behind us because we don't honor the position. We dishonor the position, and we don't like the personality, and we become a troublemaker, and we give off a different type of odor, and we're not able to be promoted. And I believe for some of you who are stuck on your jobs and you're at war with your boss, and you're at war because you think things are not fair and they're not doing you right and treating you right, I want to exhort you this morning that you do the right thing. You humble yourself. You become a servant and watch God turn things around for you. Amen. Nobody wants to praise the Lord over that, but that is the truth. That is the truth. In fact, I was promoted to full-time ministry. I was promoted in terms of ministry and influence because I submitted myself when I was being mistreated and lied on. Oh, my God, talked about. They reduced my hours. They put me in a, oh, man, they reduced my hours. I went from 60 hours to 15 hours a week. They were trying to make me quit. And I never forget it. And I remember I went through this turmoil in my mind. I remember one day I just stood up and I said to myself, you know, I was looking at everybody at the work site, and I said, I can whip this person. I can whip this person. I can whip this person. I was just thinking about, you know, I could whip this person. Oh, yeah, I could take care of them. And then the thought came to me, but I can't take care of all of them at one time. And so, and then I remember in my mind, I just said, well, I need to call, we need to have form a union here. I had all these things, and I remember the day. Man, I remember the day. And I had no peace in my heart. I came to church, and I wondered where God was. I was at church. I was wondering where God was. I didn't hear a message for about 6 weeks. 6 weeks, my life was in turmoil. Man, money wasn't breaking through. The wells were not dry. And I remember the week I went into my boss, and I asked him, I said, Joe, I just need you to forgive me. I need you to forgive me for my attitude. I want to ask your forgiveness for the way I've been acting. I haven't given 100%. And I meant it from the bottom of my heart. And I never forget that I completely forgot about being mistreated. I completely forgot about this whole thing about things being fair. And I just made up in my mind that I was going to honor God. I was going to honor him by submitting myself and honoring that person in authority. And I'm going to And a wonderful grace came over me. And I remember four major prophets. One of the prophets happened to be Mark Sharona. Another was David Ireland. Another was, it was two other prophets. But I remember they stood me up and they said, as of midnight of January 1, 1988, your whole life is going to turn around. That you have been in Joseph's pit. And the enemy has been laughing at you. But God is going to draw. I see a ladder being extended into the pit. And you climbing out. And that ladder came from heaven. Oh, man. It was a powerful word. But it only came when I made up in my mind that I was going to repent, change my attitude and be subject to the governing authorities, and that I was going to give 100%, and that I was going to trust God in my situation. I was not going to fight the system. Oh, my God, I want to tell you something. Everything turned around. And I didn't understand. I want to tell you something. January the 1st, I never forget. It had been in the heart of Bishop Johnson to ask me to come on full time. I never forget it. I didn't even know it was in his heart. I didn't know it was in his heart. And after that word was given, Bishop Johnson came up to me and said, I really do believe the Lord wants me to bring you on full time. And he said, it's going to be a step of faith because I don't believe we have enough to come in to give you a full salary. And man, I came, and as of January the 1st, 1988, I came on full time, man, and haven't looked back in 30 years, and the Lord provided. But the point came, the turning point, the linchpin of change in this particular situation was that my attitude had to change. And I saw this in this brother yesterday. Oh, my God. And but anyway, I don't see him here right now, so I can't talk about it. But maybe he'll hear it, and maybe the message will be clear to him that his promotion is, you hear this, your promotion is at hand. God is waiting on a change of heart in you. And so I've seen this happen over and over. Another, and so I'm going to move past this. Another distinctive that causes the favor of God to move towards you is the wisdom of God. The Bible says, whoever finds wisdom finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. And when you, over and over, when you look in the scriptures, when you walk in wisdom, favor is attracted to you. And so how do you get wisdom? You get wisdom by asking God for wisdom. I'm going to talk about that later. Daniel moved in wisdom. Moses moved in wisdom. And normally people who move in wisdom, they are problem solvers. They bring solutions to the table and not problems to the table. People get paid for the problems they are able to solve. If you're not able to solve problems or bring solutions at work, then you will not be paid. Some people want great money, but they cannot solve a problem. The only solution they can solve is frying hamburgers. And so anyway, I'm gonna leave that alone. Okay, I know that was mean, but I had to say that. But the thing about it, if your solution grid or quotient is hamburgers, how many of you know that if you want an upgrade in income, then you have to hyphen the problems you solve? And many times, the problems you solve are equivalent to the level of wisdom that's flowing through you. Amen. Another thing that causes the favor of God to run towards you, and you need to understand, when favor is moving on your behalf, doors are just slamming open for you, man. Doors are just opening, man. People, your phone is ringing, man. People want you from everywhere. A demand is being placed. Access to places you never dreamed of or thought of becomes available to you, but it has to do with favor. And I said in the last service that God has extended his scepter to this church, even as the scepter was extended by the king towards Esther. God has extended his scepter towards this church. His countenance has turned towards his house, and he desires to favor his people in this hour. And he desires to favor this church in such a way that in the marketplace, he wants to place his mark on you. He wants to place it on you by upgrades, by promotion, by open doors, by witty inventions. The Lord wants to do that. Another way you get the favor of God flowing towards you is that you give. You got to give. You got to give. You got to give. If you never give, favor of God will not flow towards you. Show me a person in this room that doors are not opening for them and slamming open and you're not receiving any preferential treatment. Normally, you will show me a person. If that person is not a rebel, if that person is not prideful, but if that person is not giving, I'm going to say this over and over. Giving is a favor magnet. It's something about giving. And you have to lose your fear of giving financially. Praise God. Amen. And some people, man, they want to hold on to that $100 and they think, man, that things will just never change. And I just got to hold on to it. And then another year passed and they're still in the same place financially because they never changed their giving. And they don't realize that the smallness of their thinking has imprisoned them in the situation they're in. And so what God loves is a generous spirit. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, that he will cause all grace to abound towards you, meaning that he will cause all grace to leap towards you so that you may have all sufficiency in everything and every good work. Because you what? Give. When you, there is a correlation between people who give and the activity of angels over them. Some people live under a closed heaven because they do not give. There's something about giving that affects the spiritual atmosphere over you. Man, if you study the life of Solomon, man, Solomon gave the biggest burnt offering, man. He tried to offer as many bulls, calves, everything he could find, he tried to offer to God one night. And that offering was so large that God, because God came to Solomon and said, he appeared to Solomon in a dream and said, whatever you want, I give it to you. Because I often wonder what provoked God to appear before Solomon. And when you read that passage, what preceded that manifestation, it was his giving. And God came to him. God came to this man and said, whatever you want, I give it. And Solomon said, Lord, I don't know how to come in and before these people you've made me responsible for. Give me a listening heart. Give me wisdom so that I can lead this people and take care of this people. And God said, God was moved. He was impressed by that answer because he didn't ask for long life. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for God to take care of his enemies. And God said, because you asked for wisdom and you didn't ask for any of this other stuff, he said, I'm going to give you what you didn't ask, and then I'm going to give you wisdom and say that there will never be a man like you on earth after you. And overnight, there was a heavenly download of wisdom, and Solomon's life was changed. It came out of giving. Come on, saints. You want the favor of God? You want the favor of God? You want the favor? You have to understand how things work in the spiritual realm in God's kingdom. When the Bible says the liberal soul shall be made fat. The person who gives to the poor lends to the Lord. And so you have to give. You have to give generously out of your heart. And some of you, the challenge for you this year will be you making up your mind and coming to a place of resolve that you are going to be faithful in tithing, you're going to be faithful in giving, and you're going to give when the Lord asks you to give. And some of you, because you do that, you're going to begin to see things really open up for you between now and the middle of this year. I'm going to say, and for some of you, man, you got stuff in your house. You got closets full of stuff. You need to give the clothes you can't wear away. You need to give the furniture you can't sit in away. You need to find, this is a season. Some of you need to come up, cultivate an attitude. I'm going to give something away every day. I'm going to give something away every day. And by you doing that, watch God gives to you. Every day. Watch God opens up the door of heaven. There's a gentleman at our church, man, and the enemy really fought him. This is why I want to pray for executives. This person is a top-level executive, and the enemy fought against him. He lost several jobs, got fired unjustly from several jobs. But he and his wife are top-level givers. And in the midst of everything, this war, this battle that was going on with this man of God, he got fired from this job. Then he got fired from this job, and it was crazy. Stuff it was, and but in the midst, and within that same year of losing jobs over and over, man, they moved into a brand new home. They paid cash for the furniture in their new home. They paid cash for their daughter's vehicle. They paid cash for the vehicle for their wife. For his wife. The wife was promoted. She was given $20,000 bonus, you know, some kind of way. It came from somewhere. Then some money came. All these things happened because there was a war in the heavens regarding the promotion that God wanted to bring this couple. And because this person did not complain, and in the midst of what they were going through, he gave out of their lack. And I'm telling you, the floodgates of heaven opened over this man of God in the house. And I'm not, I'm going to leave this alone, but I'm just saying, you can stay poor. The heavens can, you know, when the heavens are open, you know something, you can make that $50,000 a year, and man, but when the heavens are open over your life, man, money is coming from everywhere. Preferential, if you have a business. When you have a business, you have unlimited opportunities for increase. Man, when you have a business, guess what? Man, when favor is working on your behalf, God can open up the hearts of people in a top position. And all you need is one person saying, I have 1,000 orders I need you to fulfill for us. Man, it changes everything. I need to leave this alone. Okay, giving. The next thing is having an excellent spirit. If you want to move in divine favor, you got to have an excellent spirit. So the first thing, you have to understand that you have been made righteous with Christ. Number two, you have to practice humility. You have to deal with bad attitudes at work. A humble person will forgive. A person who's walking in humility, they will forgive. A person who walks in humility, their heart is not filled with resentment and bitterness. A person who walks in humility will not tear down people in authority, will not tear down their boss, will not tear down the people or leaders in the church. A person who's walking in humility, because when you walk in humility, you attract the grace of God. When you walk in humility, when you give, guess what? You literally attract the favor of God. You attract God giving you preferential treatment. When you have an excellent spirit, you attract the favor of God. And so excellence is like a magnet that draws promotion. You can never qualify for a greater position until you have excelled in a lesser position. See, complaining is the antithesis of promotion. Complaining, man, you know, when you, and I've managed people. And you know, when you find a complainer, you don't want to promote that person. Man, you try to find a way to put that person in the back room somewhere. They call it lateral movement because that person is a troublemaker. You think I just got to speak my mind. I got to let people know. You just keep on doing it. Just keep on doing it. And you praying, you coming to church. Oh God, please! I just need another job, Lord. Oh Jesus. And nothing is happening because nobody wants you around because of your attitude. Nobody has had the guts to tell you because they're scared that you're going to come to work and probably do something to somebody. So what they do, we don't understand, but this position closed. But we got this position over here. It's a lateral movement, but it's something new. And you don't understand, man. And then, you have to understand. And then people who are in HR, they are connected. They are connected all across the nation, and you're trying to get promoted, and you don't understand what the glass ceiling is. The glass ceiling is your attitude. Oh, man. Finishing the task is more important than receiving the reward. See, if you have an excellent spirit, you will finish the task. If you have an excellent spirit, you will give attention to detail. When you give attention to detail, you will always stand above the rest. And don't tell me, well, this is not my temperament. Man, your temperament is not your identity. Your temperament is your propensity, but your ability to change is an issue of character. That's just the way I am. You know, anyway, the Bible says, do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. And he said, if you see a man or a woman who excel in their work, they do good work. The projects finish on time. They come to work on time. They do more than expected. Man, they have a great attitude. They're networkers, man. Man, I want to tell you something. The Bible says, you see a man or a woman who excels in their work. The Bible says they will stand before kings. They will stand before the heads of the company. They will stand before people of influence. Do you want to stand before kings? Because if you stand before a king, then a king can promote you. Oh, man. Okay. People who have an excellent spirit know how to submit. Let's look at Daniel, the second chapter. I'm going to get y'all out of here. I can tell y'all upset with me. In the second chapter, it says, now in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king gave orders to all the magicians and conjurers and sorcerers and Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. Now, see, God planted him in the midst of people who are in the occult. Now, some of us, if God placed you in a place, man, where they're worshiping all kind of things and worshiping all God, you'd be walking in there with your big cross. Yeah. In Jesus' name. And taking your Bible and walking on. I don't think Daniel did any of that. Because Daniel understood that he was placed. And God gave him authority. And so the scripture says, and the king said to him, I had a dream and my spirit is anxious to understand the dream. Then the Chaldean spoke to the king in Aramaic. O king, live forever. Tell the dream to your servants, and we will declare the interpretation. The king replied to the Chaldeans, the command from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you will be torn limb from limb, and your houses will be made a rubbish heap. But if you declare the dream and its interpretation, you will receive from me gifts and a reward and great honor. Therefore, declare to me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, let the king tell the dream to his servants and we will declare the interpretation. Then the king replied, I know for certain that you are bargaining for time. Inasmuch as you have seen that the command for me is firm, that if you do not make the dream known to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed together to speak lying and corrupt words before me until the situation is changed. Therefore, tell me the dream that I may know that you can declare to me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered and the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can declare the matter for the king. Inasmuch as no great king or ruler has ever asked anything like this of any magician, conjurer, or Chaldean. Moreover, the thing which the king demands is difficult. There is no one else who can declare it to the king except gods, whose dwelling place is not with mortal flesh. Because of this, the king became indignant. He became furious. I could just see the king just walking around. Give the orders. Destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill him. Oh, man. Then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He said to Arioch, the king's commander, for what reason is this decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. So Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, about the matter, so that they might request compassion from the God of heaven. Lord, have mercy concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends will not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. The mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And he went on and blessed it. And then I'm moving down to the 24th verse. Then Daniel went in to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and spoke to him as follows. Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king. Then Arioch hurriedly brought Daniel into the king's presence and spoke to him as follows. I found a man among the exiles from Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king. The king said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Then Daniel answered the king and said, as for the mystery which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, diviners are able to declare it to the king. Moreover, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, who has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what would take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while you were on bed. As for you, king, while you were on your bed, your thoughts turned to what would take place in the future. And he who reveals mysteries has made known to me what would take place. But as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me more than any other living man, but for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king, and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. You, O king, were looking, and behold, there was a single great statue. And then he began to give the interpretation. He told him what the dream was. He told him what the dream was. He went through that. And then after he told him what the dream was, then he gave the interpretation. And then the king, after he gave the interpretation, the king of Babylon fell on his face, did homage to Daniel, and gave orders to present him an offering and fragrant incense. You got to understand this. This is the king of Babylon. He falls down to his knees and he pays homage to him. No king ever does anything like that. He solved the problem. Say to the person next to you, he solved the problem. The king answered Daniel and said, surely your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. Since you have been able to reveal this mystery, then the king promoted Daniel, gave him many gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, the chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the administration of the province of Babylon while David was at the king's court. You have to understand what actually happened, because before, the whole education system consisted throughout Babylon, it consisted primarily of the Chaldeans literature, the Babylonian literature, Babylonian occultism, and etc. But because Daniel solved a problem, the Lord placed him through the king, turned the heart of the king, because see, God will turn the heart of the king. Proverbs 21, God will turn the heart of the king. The heart of the king is in the Lord's hands. Your boss, the heart of your boss is in the Lord's hands. The heart of your boss, the heart of the person that can promote you is in the hand of the Lord. The God can turn his or her heart. And in this particular situation, God turned the heart of the king, and the king said, I'm going to put you over all the wise men. And so when the Lord placed Daniel over all the wise men of Babylon, the Lord literally placed him over the entire educational system. Lord, have mercy. Of all of Babylon. In one moment, because he solved the problem. And that solving of that problem came through the wisdom of God. I believe in my whole heart that one of the things that God wants to see take place is that he wants to raise up problem solvers in this church. I've never seen a time when I've asked God for wisdom that God did not give me the wisdom. And it has nothing to do with me being a man of God. It has nothing. It has something to do with me being a child of God, just like you're a child of God. The Bible says that if we ask for wisdom, he will give it liberally. The problem is that we never ask God for wisdom. We never seek him for wisdom. We don't ask him for wisdom in terms of how to solve problems. Man, all we need many times is wisdom from the Lord. All we need is wisdom from the Lord. All we need, saints. I don't know if you understand. All you need is wisdom from the Lord. And the wisdom of God will come to you if you ask. And see, some of you, the problem is this, is that you're good at things, but you need to upgrade your skill level, your competence level. Come on, saints. Which means that you might have to go back to school. You may have to upgrade your training, because when you upgrade your problem-solving skills or your training, you're qualifying for favor. And so guess what? If you upgrade your skill level and you are what? You're righteous, practicing humility. Come on, saints. What else? You're giving. You're asking God for wisdom. And you're excellent at work. You're excellent. I mean, all you do at work is excellent, excellent, excellent. And you have and everybody speaks well of you because of your great attitude and how you help the team at work. They have no other choice but to promote you, even though many may be envious of you. When God can turn the heart of your king. God, your boss at work can be against you, and God can bring the head of the company in, and the head of the company looks at you and say, I don't know who you are, but tell me more about yourself. And literally, that person who has authority over your boss can overstep that boss and raise you up. And make you his boss. I believe God wants to do that throughout this church. I believe between now and the end of this year, the Lord wants to upgrade and bring promotion to men and women. Now, sometimes the problem is this. Is that we don't know the problems we are called to solve. And this is how I'm going to close this off. How can you determine what you're supposed to do? Have you asked yourself the question? One of the interesting things that happens to people many times after the age of 35 and 40, they come to a conclusion that what they've been doing is not really what they want to do. And so now they want to do what they were called to do, but they don't know what they've been called to do. Man, I work with people, oh my God. And I work with people, I'm talking about people, I work with some people who have seven digits. And the way they think, people with seven digits will astound you in terms of how they think and how they look at. It's not that God is preferring other people over other people. It has to do with how you think. You can never go beyond what you see. And where you are in life right now is the sum total of your thoughts in the past. You may wish that things were better, but if you can't see better, you will never live into better. Because what you hold in your imagination is the seed of your future. And some people are not able to see because of the constriction of poverty. And that's not what I'm supposed to preach. But how can you determine the problems you're called to solve? I'm going to give you this list. What situations or people needs tug at your heart the most? What are you motivated to learn about? What do you have a thirst to learn about? What problems in the world would you want to give your life to solve? What kind of needs do you want to meet? What you have a compulsion, what kind of needs you want to meet? Where has been the most or best fruit in your life? Where have you been the most fruitful from? What have you been the most productive from? What do you find others affirming you about? What do you find people saying, man, you do this so great, man. Have you ever considered doing this, Lord, for a living? You know, you got to consider that. What comes naturally to you? What comes naturally to you? What do you find yourself building a library around? What do you find yourself doing that you lose track of time when you are doing it? What do you find yourself doing that, I mean, it just comes easy. You just don't know how. And then other people look at it, how do you do that? And you say, well, I just, but that's a clue to what you're supposed to be doing. What projects and jobs do you often lose track of time doing? What does your library consist of? Where do you seem to know more about an area than most people? What have you wanted to do with your life since you were a kid? What were your dreams when you were a kid? What do you have a sense of destiny about in your heart? What have you said, this is what I am born to do? When was the last time you said, man, when I do this, man, I just feel like this is what I'm born to do. I feel such what are the things that make you feel energized after you do it in terms of an employment or some type of task or project, man? Man, you just feel energized, man. You feel like this is what my life is supposed to be about. What are the significant things that God has said about your destiny? Man, what words? And the problem is that many times, because we compare ourselves with other people, we end up doing other things than the thing that God has called us to do. And you and I, we have a responsibility to discover what we've been called to do. It's your responsibility. God did his job. His job was to give you the gift. His job was to give you the ability. Our job is to discover what he has given to us and then maximize it. Oh, man. Okay. Just about there. So how many of you believe that the Lord wants to promote you? And he wants to take the limit off of your life. There's a particular person I work with, and I work in the church, and I work outside of the church, or I take the church with me in the lives of people who are in business. And I want to tell you something. See, some of you who are in business right now, the reason why it's not working right is because, first of all, every business consists of four things. Four things you cannot go without. You got to have marketing. Marketing is everything you do to attract prospects to your business. You got to have sales. Everything you turn to a prospect, you turn that prospect into a customer. That's what sales is all about. Operations have to do with everything that serves the customer. Administration has to do with tracking, finance, financial statements, marketing results, production statements, budget, costs, and et cetera. And so what happens is that we find people saying, well, you know, I'm supposed to start a business. And I just started a business. And then after 2 months, man, you hear nothing from them anymore because they did not have everything in place. That all they had was a desire, and they did not have systems. They did not have a marketing system that constantly procures prospects to them. They didn't have a system in place that would turn the prospects into a customer. You can have marketing, you can have sales, but if you don't have administration, if you don't have tracking, man, you can go broke in 3 months and have the income tax people coming after you and locking you up. This is where you need wisdom. And Pastor Brendan, I'm going to tell you something. I've seen people just blame God. Oh, I tried to do this. I tried to do this. And the Lord wasn't with me. No, no, no. He was with you. But I believe this is a season where the Lord wants to raise up men and women of excellence, and that he wants to bring an upgrade in your lives in the marketplace. Why does God want to raise you up in the marketplace? He wants to raise you up in the marketplace so that you can represent him, so that you can be like Daniel. Cause the king to recognize that God is in heaven. The king didn't know about God, but he knew that there was something different about Daniel. Man, some of you work for people, they don't know anything about the Lord. But God wants to place you there so that you can advertise him first with your character, with your productivity. And then they may want to hear from your mouth about the God you serve. Lord, have mercy. I believe the Lord wants this church to become a church where the favor of the Lord is so plentiful that CEOs from around the city will say, call Pastor Brendan, do you have somebody in your church who can do this? I just heard that anybody that has someone from your church working for them, they are blessed. Sales goes up. Productivity goes up. We don't know why this happens because of your members. But we just know that we got to have that kind of person at our job. Can you send that person over? Oh, man. I believe God wants it. It's happening in other places right now. And I believe the favor of the Lord is hovering over this church. And the Holy Spirit is asking, who can I send from this house into the marketplace to represent me? Amen. Come on, let's stand and give the Lord praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel his presence right now. There is a financial upgrade that God wants to bring in this church. How many of you know? Some of you are just one person away. Just one contact can turn everything around. All you need is for God to turn his face towards you. It happened to Peter. Jesus got on his boat, threw that net over the boat, paid all the debt off for years. Oh, man. I'm not going to do individual prophesying, but I want those of you who would say today, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am called by the Lord. I know the Father wants better for me. I know I need to change my ways at work. I'm one way at church and I'm another way at work. I haven't been the best representation for Christ at work. But I want things to change. I want things to change. How many of you would say this morning, man, I need more humility in my life? So much pride in me. So much pride in me. It's been hard for me to say I'm wrong. It's been hard for me to just honor my boss. It's been hard for me to just do that. But I realize the reason why my prayers have been bouncing off the walls regarding promotion, because you've been resisting me. You resist the proud. But today I come humbling myself, and tomorrow I'm going to humble myself. My attitude is going to change tomorrow at work. My attitude is going to change at the church regarding the voluntary service I give. I mean, if you, who have never asked God for wisdom, and the Lord has just been waiting on you? And how many of you will say today, man, I haven't given my best at work? The Bible says the negligent man deals with a slack hand. A lazy man deals with a slack hand. You know, I've just been just doing enough to pass by. I turn in my work late. I turn in my projects late. I turn them in. It's not all complete. I do things like I want to. I just try to stay with everybody else. I don't want to be above everybody else. But I know today that God has called me to be higher. God wants me to be a standard bearer at work. God wants me to represent TCC at work. God wants his kingdom represented through me at work. And that most of my life is lived at work. Most of my life is lived on the job. And so really, my job is the only place, the major place that God has to represent himself through my life. And I haven't been the best minister, but today I make a decision that I'm going to be a minister. And then collectively, we're going to stand with our leader, and we're going to become a church of dynamic influence before the Lord. We're going to become a force of heaven, and the kingdom of God will flow through us, and men and women will be healed at work. Men, we're going to pray for people to be healed. We're going to pray for people to be healed. We're going to pray, and God is going to give us witty inventions. He's going to give us means to solve problems, and we're going to have words of knowledge. We're going to have words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Our boss dreams about something one day, and we come in and say, have you ever thought about this? And it was the thing he dreamed about, and now his life has changed because he knows that God is alive. TCC has been called and summoned by the Lord to represent God in the marketplace. If you believe you're that person, amen, I want you to stand right here this morning.